little bit. Okay. I wanted to discuss a topic this evening, which is very misubach. It's a little bit of a complicated topic, and I make my moda beforehand that with some of the things that were going on, my time for preparation was a little more limited than I would have hoped for, and I'm not sure I myself have a firm handle yet on the sugya, but it's so rarely spoken about and so rarely learned that I thought it's kedai to focus on it, and perhaps we won't understand it or learn it through entirely, but at least we'll have more of an exposure, I think, than we have before this year, and perhaps there'll be other opportunities in the future to revisit this topic. In Vayigash, in the Aliyah of Chamishi, really at the end of Parak Memhei, and then beginning of Parak Memvav, is the high emotional point of the Parsha, where Yaakov finds out the great news that Yosef is still alive. He's convinced by the vision of the Agolos, and as a result of this, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav, O Yosef Benichai, because now that I know that my son Yosef is still alive, Elchav Arena Betaramamos, let me go and see him, lest I should die. Now, what's significant to this, from a halachic perspective, a human perspective, the significance is obvious. What's significant from the halachic perspective is that where was Yaakov living at the time? Eretz Yisrael. Where is Yosef living? Mitzrayim. So what I don't want to talk about, although this is obviously a related point, but I don't want to focus on, is the halakhic status of going, living, slash visiting Mitzrayim. That's a very related point. But for now, let's not discriminate against Mitzrayim, and let's just look at Mitzrayim as a representative of all of the diaspora, all of Chutz La'aretz. Yaakov is leaving Chutz La'aretz, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. And even though it's not discussed by the Torah in explicitly halachic terms, you can see a little bit of the tension, because in the next psukim, in the beginning of Perek Mem Vav, Hashem comes to Yaakov and tells him, Vayomer Elokim Yisrael, B'maros Halayla, in the vision at night, Vayomer Yaakov Vayomer Hineni, Chasa Gimel Vayomer, and Hashem says, Anochi HaKel Elokei Avicha, I'm the father, you know, the God of your father, Al Tira, Merda, Mitzrayim, don't be scared going down to Mitzrayim, Ki Lagoy Gadol Asim Chasham, right? Good things are going to happen to you and to your family there. Now, from a pshat and a chumash perspective, this is very, very fascinating that Abraham, we know, also had to go down to Mitzrayim for the same reason, for a famine. And given that fact, we know that while the psukim seem to legitimate such a decision, and most Mepharshim take it as a given, was a very well-known comment of the Ramban, who was very, very critical of Avraham for going down to Mitzrayim, and he suggests that the reason that Sarah had her problems, and by the grace of a miracle from Hashem, would have been taken into a harem of Paro there, and then it was because of Avraham's mistake, his sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael. But yet, Avraham, we know, was allowed to and did leave. As other Mepharshim ask on the Ramban, some of them see this as that Rav and the Maaseh Sarah as one of the Nisyonos of Sarah, of Avraham, which we assume he's passed all of them. So, but we know that generally speaking, we assume that Avraham left more than once and it was okay. Meanwhile, Yitzchak, he considered living and he was told by Hashem, he's the Ola Tamima, Yitzchak never leaves. Yitzchak's not allowed to leave. And then now we know Yaakov already left once, then he came back, and now you see him leaving again. So, from the pshat perspective, which is not what we'll be focusing on in a moment, there's actually a very fascinating discussion. In fact, some of the hashkafic significance of this makes up the crux of one of the great shurim and hashkafah and chumash that I heard from my Rabbi Rosenzweig years ago, where he speaks about the different avos and their paradigms, and he uses this as one of the threads to kind of compare and contrast their personalities and their different roles, some more flexible, some less flexible, and it probably is in part what Hashem is alluding to when he says to Yaakov of all times, not only am I encouraging you to go, but I am Elokei Avicha. Right? It seems like incredible. Who else was it? Now they already have a relationship, Hashem and Yaakov. It's not a new thing that they have to introduce themselves. But I suspect that it's related to this. In other words, don't think that this is somehow illegitimate. The same Hashem who is Elokei Avicha, who told Yitzchak not to go, but I'm telling you it's okay, you can go. This is part of the plan. So it's a very significant and fascinating, if you will, literary or hashkafic issues going on here as well. But rather than focusing on those, as a Zara Derech, I want to use this as a springboard to discuss the halacha of when it is permitted and when it is not permitted for someone to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, what is complicated about this sugya, and this is really where I wish I myself had some more clarity, but there's no question that on some level, this is obviously a related topic to the more basic, you could say, issue of going to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, is there a mitzvah of yeshiva or living, you know, Eretz Yisrael, which we have discussed more than once, specifically even in the context of this Thursday night shir 3 years ago in Parshas Lech Lecha. Is there a mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, and specifically is there a mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael even nowadays after the Churban? And that's the famous discussion of the Ramban and the Rambam and a whole Torah about that which we have discussed. And what is not nearly as written about, not nearly as talked about, is this, the inverse of this case, which is, well, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, are you allowed to leave? And I'll just mention a beautiful, charming story, inspirational story, really, just you should know that, you know, Lamashal, there's a famous Sifrei in Re'ei, which talks about certain Tanayim. I don't remember if it says why they were leaving, but it talks about them leaving Eretz Yisrael, and they got to the border, and at the last moment, when they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, they remembered all sorts of psukim from Re'ei and other great psukim in the Torah that talk about the Shiros and Shepachos of Eretz Yisrael and the chosen land, and they were filled with tears, and they stopped, and they turned around, and they didn't leave. Right? And that's a famous chazal. And there are many other Mamari chazal, or even for that matter, stories in your history about such people. But you shouldn't think that this is just from Tanaim and some otherworldly people. Many of you know Barry Schumann. He grew up a Yolid, not only Yolid Baltimore, Yolid Shomrei, who now lives in Eretz Yisrael. His parents, Leonard and Leah Schumann, some of our dearest members. And I don't think I heard this from Barry directly, even though I met him not long ago when he was here in the summer. But Leah, I think, or his mother, his father told me that I believe his wife is from Muncie. And they told me very honestly, I have 10 kids, Kanai Nahara, 10 kids. And the in-laws, a few summers ago, usually the parents visit, both sides of the parents visit Eretz Yisrael. The parents, the in-laws from Muncie, were going to be willing, they said, we'll be happy to pay for you to bring your whole family here for the summer. They didn't go. Because they had a family discussion, and the children, who have never been out of Eretz Yisrael, said they're not willing to leave. That's spiritual gvura. That's unbelievable. There are real people like this, even children. That's such an avos Eretz Yisrael. They weren't willing to leave. Ma'isa Shaya. So the Shaila, that's certainly a tzidkus, beyond question. The Shaila is Mikra Adin. What is the halacha about leaving Eretz Yisrael? There are two very important Talmudic texts, two main makoros. A longer, more well-known one is a Tosefta, the Masechta Avodah Zarah in Parakei. And then there's a shorter version in the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra and Av Tzadi Aleph. The general notion, which we'll see in a moment, the Rambam basically, well, I think the easiest thing to do is to look at the Rambam. We'll do it in a second, because the Rambam basically conflates the two texts and gives you an overview of the general issue, both in terms of halacha and even in certain emotional pull of the halacha. Before we see that, though, just a very basic issue, which gets back to the question of mitzvah yeshivas Eretz Yisrael and how that relates to the isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. So if you take a look at that Gemara Bava Basra, the Gemara itself never tells us why. Right? Why can't you leave? The Gemara seems to say it, the Septa says it. But why not? So the Rashbam, as you know, in Bava Basra, Rashi turns into the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says that it's because of the mitzvos that you will not be able to perform. And the pashtus of this Rashbam is clearly that he's talking about the mitzvos of tzluyos ba'aretz. But what is he therefore presumably not talking about? What mitzvah could you have thought was being spatel? The mitzvah of being in Eretz Yisrael itself. So I saw one machaber pointed out that l'chora this Rashbam will be the low kashitas haramban. The Ramban, who's famous both in the Sefer Mitzvos and his Perish Al HaTorah, who believes that mida araisa, there is a mitzvah as part of the harashas haaretz, is also yeshivas haaretz and developing the land. And the Ramban there seems to throw in also that, and it makes sense logically, that that's also why you can't leave. So then you wouldn't need to come on to mitzvah tzoyis varas, which is secondary to the very fact that you're there. So that could be, perhaps, a machlokus. And within that discussion, I saw, and this is where it starts getting complicated, but relates to our previous discussions in earlier years, which is, well, what do you think the Shitas HaRambam is? So some wanted to suggest, if you take the Rambam, who just as a quick refresher, never lists the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah in his minyan, Tayag. So some wanted to say, most notably, for example, the Miguel Esther in his commentary on the Rambam, Yisrael Gileon, that it's because the Rambam holds that the mitzvah itself, nowadays, without a Beis HaMikdash, is only Mita Rabbanan. So some wanted to suggest, now we saw in previous Shurim that many, many Achronim dispute that understanding of the Rambam, and they believe that the Rambam himself agrees that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and for a variety of different theoretical explanations which are offered, he didn't count it as a separate mitzvah. But if you take it at its simple level, that his omission implies that he holds it as a Rabbanan like the Megillas Esther, not the Megillah, but the Perish Megillas Esther on Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, suggests, so then I saw someone want to say, maybe the Rashbam is being told his Shita on the Rambam, that once you hold this Mida Rabbanan, so then L'Chaora, that's not going to be the source for the Isser to leave. Even though, as we'll see momentarily, it's likely that the Isser to leave is only Mida Rabbanan, perhaps ever, certainly nowadays. But the point is, some of the, as we'll see in a moment from the Rambam, which is really from the Chazal, some of the very negative and very emotionally laden comments that are made, so it's hard to believe, some of them say that that would be said over something that was lafuke what? Lafuke only a the more you see that as only a derabanan, so then you may, downgrade it and see, well, maybe it's because you're moving up to these other mitzvot, the police bars, etc. That's just a tliya. Really, before what I want to do now is just to read with you some of the comments of the Rambam here, which, as I said, is really a paraphrase or a concise summary of what Chazal say, both a little bit in the Tosefta and in that Gemara Bava Basra. Someone have a question? Yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, you'd be an avera to take yourself out of a chiyuv drabanan. I mean, we know you shouldn't take yourself out of a chiyuv like the rights of sitta.
But even that, even that is not it's not an avera.
Right, but even the risk,
it's not an avera. It's not. I don't think you call that an avera, right?
Rabbanan,
right. No, again, it's exact. This whole halacha is a chiddush. Even with that parallel, which might be the closest parallel, usually a mitzvah like this, if you, even tulis varis, let's say tulis varis for a daraisa, right? Let's say bisman. So is there an isr? That's if you're there, so you have to follow them. That there should be an isr not to be in their place, even a darabonim like isr. It's a chiddush. Right? It's a chiddush. So let's see how the Rambam lists us in Hilchos Malachim in Perek Hay. The Rambam talks about where you're going to live, right? People make also the decisions if they're going to live in Ranchley or Greenspring, or maybe they're going to move to Park Heights, maybe they're going to move to Teaneck. So there are all sorts of discussions and decisions that people make. So I don't know how many of them looked at the Rambam first. He doesn't talk about Park Heights and Greenspring, but he does discuss preferences for neighborhoods. So the Rambam tells us first in Halacha Zayin, Mutter Lishkon V'chol Ha'olam. It's Mutter to live anywhere in the world, Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's a particularly ironic because of where the Rambam lived, but that's not tonight's topic. Min hayam ha-godol ha-maravi, arba meyas parsa, ad arba meyas parsa, can I get Eretz Kush, who can I get Amibar, ha-kol osros yashay, all right, this is, he's describing the area that you're not supposed to live in. However, he says, he talks about the different times that the Torah says you shouldn't go to Mitzrayim, and he continues this, and in case you have a havamina, Alexandria, b'chlal ha-isra, you shouldn't go to Alexandria either. That's where he focuses just on where you're not supposed to go, that particular section of the world as opposed to most of the world where it's mutter. Then the Rambam says in Halacha Chas, mutter lach sur l'eretz Mitzrayim l'scharo u'lefak machia. But if you're just going to go for business, then you are allowed to go to Mitzrayim. Furthermore, lichbosh aratzos acheros, if you need to pass through to, on your way to conquering something, also okay. V'ein ha'Israel hishtak hasham, but only if you're really going to settle there. And apparently Lishkon, which also sounds like living there, not just visiting, that's not Lavakir, Lishtaka seems to be something more permanent. Nevertheless, it's not, you can get Malkus on it, because he holds this type of, the way he mizmagir the law, it's Lav Shem Amai, so that's, again, not our point. Then he discusses if we might conquer Egypt, and what that would impact, how that would impact the status, also not our point. Then, after that Hagdama, he then gets into the following. Osir lotseis, this is now halachatas, parakei halachatas. Osir lotseis me'eretz Yisrael chutz aretz la'olam. And the la'olam presumably is referring to even bizman she'en habayis kayim. throughout all times, there is an Isser, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Ella, with the following exceptions, Lomo Torah, to learn Torah, Lisa Isha, to get married, Olahatzel Miyaha Goyim, or to somehow be saved, and this does not seem like, as you'll see in a moment, an actual Sakonis Nefashos, but perhaps some other more difficult situation, or perhaps even relating to Parnosa. And in all these cases, the Rambam adds, implicitly there seems to be a Tanai, because the Rambam concludes, the Yachzor al Arz. You go to find your wife, and then you go back. You go to, you know, you go to hear the shir, and then you go back. Achein, Yotzei hu l'schora. If it be a business, you have a business, you have an opportunity for business, you want to sell widgets in Wichita, so you could go. Avalishkon b'chutzal aretz aser. But to actually be shochein, now again, it's interesting, and I'm not sure I have clarity on this. Here he uses lishkon, and by Mitzrayim he used lishtaka, which sounded like a stronger language. I don't know why he changed it unless there's a nafgamina, and if there is, I'm not sure what it is. But that's what he says here, the lashon is lishkon b'chutzal aretz aser. But to actually live in Chutz La'aretz, which I guess means Shalo al Manas Lahasir, that is Usr. El in Kein Chazak Sham Hara'av, unless the situation, and this is particularly relevant to our Parsha, the famine, the economic situations are so dire, Ashenasa Shavad Dinar Chitin Vishnei Dinarin, that the, you know, supplies are so limited that you're paying double what the market value has made things double what they're really worth, which basically makes it impossible to survive economically, because you're not getting double your salary, because it costs double to live, and therefore, other than that, says the Rambam, it's usher to live there. But Mazmar Morami qualifies again, and then he gets more details into Hamos Mitzios Vaperes Biokara. That's where, in theory, you could get the food, it's just that it's going to be very, very expensive, and therefore, ultimately bankrupt you. Avlim Hayu Haperos Bezov Layims Hamos. There's plenty of food, it's just that you have no money. Which is it's a different way of becoming poor, and apparently it's a more catastrophic way. And there's no way for you to make money, there's no way. Then, then you can go anywhere in the world, perhaps even Egypt, and you can anywhere to make a profit, make a living. But nevertheless, even when it's mutter to leave, eina midas chasidus. It's still never a good thing. Again, perhaps this is why Yaakov had attention and need to be reassured. But who does the Rambam conclude this halacha with? What is his model in Tanakh to prove this final point? Who wants to take a guess? David HaMelech has discussed, but that's not who he quotes here. No, Moshe Rabbeinu never made it to Eretz Yisrael. A midas chasidus that you shouldn't leave, even when you theoretically have a permission to? Think, Nach. It might make it easier.
First
letter. Take a vowel? Very good, there we go. Machlon and Kilyon, Megillas Rus. Says the Rambam. Ein amidas chasidus, shaharei machlon v'kilyon shnei gedolei hador hayu. Shnei gedolei hador hayu. The Rambam says it straight out. Yet, and why did they leave? Not stam. If they tsar gedola yasu, there was a tremendous famine. We know what happened to them. They both died terrible, terrible, and premature deaths. Right? It's good to learn such a share living in Baltimore, right? It's like I was haunted the whole day. I had other things to haunt me more, but this was a hard day. This was one of the reasons. It was like just unsettling fear to prepare. That's what the Rambam says. And then he starts talking about the nice things. Gedolei Chachamim, Hayu Menashkin, Chumei Eretz Yisrael, Menashkin Avneha, right? They used to kiss, you know, the Kipei Akko, right? I've done this on the tarmac, and it's a little bit... now they don't let you on the tarmac anymore, so you can't kiss until you get out. Now you know, Israel's been improved. But anyway. And then again, he collects the other Mamre Chazal, which are also harsh. And anyone who lives in Chosar, it's Kilo Ein Lo Eloka, etc. This is all at the end of Perkei of Hilchos Malachim. So, there's a lot that I want to discuss, and most of it will relate more or less to different points mentioned in this Rambam. First of all, and this is a little bit of a modifying factor for us, the Mefarshim, many of them do point out that L'cha'ora, it's Meduyik in this Rambam, that this halacha applies only to people who live in Eretz Yisrael, not people who went to visit it. Again, we're not talking about, this is why it's complicated, whether you have a chiyuv to live there. But take the metzias. Do you live there or don't you live there? Because the whole focus of Chazal, and as the Rambam quotes it very meduyak, is it's usher to leave Eretz Yisrael. So that's right. That's different than saying there's a chiv to go there, and it's also different, perhaps, and some really make this point, from just someone who is visiting it, are they allowed to return home? But if you've made it your home, so then that does seem to be, at least the context, you'll have to understand the exceptions, etc., but that seems to be some farshim point out. After all, l'chora, you have a little bit of a steer. I mean, the Rambam is a little bit complicated. The Rambam started off in Halacha Zayin, so I read all three, by saying it's mutter to live anywhere in the world. And then Halacha Tes, he started off by saying, Osur lo teis meretz Yisrael. So how do you put those two and two together? It's mutter to live anywhere in the world, and it's Osur to live Eretz Yisrael.
So that's
the most likely issue, that it's mutter to live anywhere, but if you are fortunate enough to have been born, or at least at one point made the choice to live in Eretz Yisrael, then it's Osur lo teis.
What's considered living?
It's a good question. That's also a good question. Right, making a part. Also, more likely, again, the question that the portion you discussed, your question, not about what creates a dira, living in Eretz Yisrael, but they discuss when it's mutter to leave temporarily, but what's made this temporarily? What's defined as temporary? And I think Mepharshim, at least one of the articles that I read by Rav Yoel Ben Nun today, so he suggested an idea, a lot of across, has nothing to do with time. A lot of it is psychological, a lot of it is earning a living. He suggested, again, unless it's the heter, but that's already potentially defining. On the other hand, he also suggested that in modern days, we have a concept of citizenship, which did not exist in the ancient world, where you can have a passport of Eretz Yisrael and go wherever. So he thought, as long as you are a Tosha of Eretz Yisrael, you have a passport, an Israeli passport, so then it was mutter, but to become a citizen of another country might be the problem. And I'm not here to pass on those Tosha as Lamaisa, but it gets complicated. Yeah. I don't know enough about that history, but was there a notion that I could have been a citizen even if I went to live somewhere else? Okay. Okay, good to know. So, the next main body of the shir, really, I wanted to talk about, it comes out of a machlokas, two deos in Tosus, in the Gemara, in Masechet Avodah Zarah. There are other contexts where this halacha is mentioned. There's a Gemara in Yevamos, that talks about, can you leave Eretz Yisrael for Yibum? I'm not going to discuss that. There is a Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, which I do want to get to, about which we actually recently did in the Gemara Shir, although we didn't focus on, which was a particular Tana who wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael to visit his mother, who was going senile. The Gemara is very specific that she mentally was losing it. And I asked Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't necessarily give him a heter for it. That was one of the Gemaras I want to get to if we have time at the end. But there's also another Gemara, which is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that speaks about a Kohen leaving Eretz Yisrael. Why is there a special halacha about a Kohen? Because there's a halacha de Rabbanon that all of Chutz La'aretz is mitame Kohanim. That's mitame Rabbanon, we assume anywhere you are Chutz La'aretz is tame meis, because the Gemara says that while in theory we're used to a civilized world where there are things called cemeteries, in the ancient world apparently, since they had no need to be zahir because of Tumah V'Tahara, and the way the world was, people could be buried anywhere. So you could never be sure, said Chazal, that anywhere you were outside of Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't walking on top of people who were buried there. And therefore, the presumption was that anywhere a Kohen would go in Chutz La'aretz, he had to assume that he was at least mitame Rabbanon, tamei meis. If that's the case, it's l'chora osur for a Kohen to leave Eretz Yisrael, because then he'll put himself in makom tumah. And the Gemara there says, well, when is it mutter for a Kohen to leave? And the Gemara actually has an almost parallel description of the heterim, similar to what the Tosefta says about all of us Jews. And the Gemara there at least has two examples, Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. So in light of that Gemara, Tosfos has the following discussion. Are those examples bedafka, or are they just perhaps examples of a larger list? So Tosfos starts off by saying those are bedafka. Lisa Isha is, the whole world is dependent on it. Labar L'Sheva is right. Hashem didn't create the world. Not to be empty. Hashem wants the world to be populated, so they get married is a great mitzvah gedola. And Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. So if that's the case, those are mitzvahs gedolos. For anything else, even for another mitzvah, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Comes along the Tosfos and quotes the Shiltos. If you want to see the Shiltos inside, it's Shilta Kuf Gimel 103. which is on Parshas Emor, where the Kedushas Kahuna is mentioned, and the Shiltos, that's quoted by Tosfos, says something astonishing. He says, well, these are like a light Talmud Torah, like a light mitzvah, and therefore kal vachomer other mitzvahs. It comes out that according to Shiltos, for any mitzvah, which is perhaps a way of saying anything that's defined as a mitzvah or a real good reason, any other mitzvah is mutter. Now, just as an aside, you can't do this to us without trying to understand the Shiltos for a moment. How could you say the Talmud Torah is a mitzvah kala, kavachom, other mitzvahs? Doesn't make any sense. So there's an answer that the Netziv, one of the last, I believe, as the famous story goes, his last sefer was the Hamek Sheli, his commentary to the Shiltos. And he has a yisod, which is also found in the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, which is that if you take a look, in the halacha, this is true, and the Gemara seems to talk about this, when we say that I'm running off to America to go to a shir, wait a minute, there's no shir in Eretz Yisrael? And there were people from all over the world, including Eretz Yisrael, who used to come to America to go to the Rav Shir. People made such a decision. Ramesh Chavroni, who was the chevron of Rosh Hashiva, who spent some time in America, had his son leave Eretz Yisrael, even though he was grown, could have spent that, to come because he wanted to spend 2 years in YU by the Rav Shir. There are plenty examples of this. So there was no one in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Asher Yehli wasn't saying Shir. Rav Morozovsky wasn't saying Shir. Right? Maybe they weren't as good. Maybe. But there's lots to learn from them. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, it's still mutter. If this is what you want to learn by, then you can go. It says in Tziv, says the Chasam Sofer, in such a context, that preference is a mitzvah, it lets you go, but that's not saying the Kama Torah is a mitzvah kala. But if you could have been learning in Eretz Yisrael, but you think you could learn a little bit better in Chutz La'aretz, so that's a mitzvah, and it's even going to let you go, but that's not a mitzvah rabba of Kama Torah. It's not like all or nothing. So if even that, the Gemara said you could go for, so it must mean that anything else, which is an actual mitzvah, where you really theoretically can't accomplish it in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's just a, quote, one of the regular mitzvahs, but if you really can't accomplish it in Eretz Yisrael, if they're even letting you leave for a, quote, better shir, a better Rebbe, so they're certainly going to let you leave for any other mitzvah. Yeah?
Is that like the parallel to Mechira Sefer Torah in those examples?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's the tying against the Shiltos. That's the tying against Shiltos. How could you say, that it's such a mitzvah kal? After all, look, we only sell Sefer Torah, you know? Exactly. Very, very good. That's exactly what's mentioned. I also want to point out that Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and this is also what he says in the tshuva, is also paralleled in a, I guess, more slightly more esoteric source. Some of you may be familiar that in the back of certain mesechtas, the Rosh has halachos. Usually the halachos of the Rosh, the Piskei Rosh, are al-Seder the Masechta. Then there are certain collections of halachos where the Rosh put together what he called the halachos ketanos. So that's where the Rosh has all of his sefer, Hilchos Stam, Hilchos Nida. The Rosh also has a Hilchos Tumah. Anyway, so like the Rosh, the more well-known parts of the Rosh are super commentaries, Mefarshei HaRosh. So on that section there is the Lechem Chamudos. I don't know exactly who he was or when he lived, but I assume he wasn't 20th century, so he probably lived before Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe doesn't quote him, but he and Rav Moshe mamish say the same vort, which is that they suggest that this machlokes, which is obviously a very consequential machlokes, between the Tosfos and the Shiltos, which is how many are there other mitzvahs which are legitimate leaving Eretz Yisrael for, they suggest that that itself may be a machlokes between the Rambam and others, namely, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because when the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, when the Rambam quotes this halacha of the Kohen, which is really the context in that Gemara of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says it's also a lotzeis for the Kohen to go to Eretz Yisrael, to Meis the Rabbanon, he can't go, except for a mitzvah kagon, Loma Torah Lisa'isha. The tour has the same language, probably borrowed from the Rambam. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it seems like the exact same cut and paste, except for the Shulchan Aruch drops one word, kigon. It's mutter for the Kohen to leave Eretz Yisrael if it is for Talmud Torah Lisa Isha, not kigon. Says Rav Moshe, that kigon is of incredible consequence. The Rambam and the Tur who have the kigon, what they're getting at is that these are not two examples in Adkan Silo. They are paradigms, kigon. For example, Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha, but other things, perhaps yes as well. The Shulchan Aruch, who goes out of his way, Rav Moshe says, Bedavka, to limit to take out the word kigon, it's because he understands that they are bedavka. Those two examples may be bedavka. So this may be a very consequential and wide-ranging machlokas. Today, in the Tosfos says it's most well-known, but Moshe has a chiddush that perhaps the Rambam also holds like the She'iltos.
Did you say the Lamed Tzeira is called Lamed Tzeira too? The Lamed Tzeira?
I didn't say that, but it may be true. I didn't say that yet.
Rab, for example, went to Logo.
I did not say that, but that could very well be true. Rav Schechter, in a well-known article, which I didn't look at for today's shiur, but I have used 3 years ago when we gave the shiur on Parshas Lech Lecha, but Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, I used Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter has two articles, one in Hebrew, one in English, but in the RJJ journal, one of the earliest versions of Halacha and Contemporary Society, the red one, Rav Schechter has an incredibly mind-bogglingly brilliant essay on Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and there he tells an autobiographical story. He doesn't tell you about the whole discussion, but he does, which we can easily speculate, we're tantalized even to speculate, but that he had talked about a conversation he had with Avraham Shapiro, the former Rav Roshi, the Rashiva of Merkaz Rav, Greg Gon, Ben Achar Ben of the Kovna Rav, of the Dvar Avram, whose name was Avraham Shapiro. And he says there that Avraham Shapiro spoke about with him and told him that not just for Gedolei Ador, but even just for Marbitei Torah, who feel that that's where they can do their best work, that there it was mutter to live in Chutz Laaretz, not make Aliyah. He quotes that from him, and it's interesting because you could imagine that perhaps that's for people only of Rav Schechter's stature. But happens to be that there's someone who my wife and I used to be very close with, who was one of the prime talmidim of Avraham Shapiro. He's actually one of the only Americans, because Merkaz Harav, as you know, is almost exclusively an Israeli yeshiva. Maybe some diaspora, but not American diaspora. But this is an American who was a big Talmud Chacham, and he was very close with Avraham Shapiro. In fact, since he was one of the only Americans, when Avraham Shapiro became Rav HaRoshi, so any travels or other things, or even meetings that he had to do with English speakers, and he doesn't speak English, so this person became his secretary, his mesharis, for all English-speaking things. In fact, there was a very famous story from Rav Shapiro, the one time he came to America, and he went to YU, and he hugged and kissed Rav Soloveitchik, and when Rabbi Lam said to him, what are you doing? It's so strange. And he said, well, what do you mean? A Sefer Torah, so a living Sefer Torah, local Shekane. So I always took that story with a grain of salt. You know, maybe it was like some YU apocryphal story. Then I met him, and he said, no, I'm coming from the other end, and I'm telling you, I was there. It happened exactly as Rabbi Lam said it. And he was blown away as a Talmud. You know, for him, Rav Avraham Shapiro was living Sefer Torah. So to see who, in Rav Avraham Shapiro is one of the Gedolei Ador. He's an incredible Talmud Chacham. So to see him make himself kafuf to the Rav was certainly an incredible thing. So Lamaisa, how do I know this person so close to Rav Avraham Shapiro, learning Merkaz Rav for almost 20 years? How do me and my wife know him? Because Rabbi Lukstein hired him to come to teach in the Ramaz High School for a 3-year shlichus. And 3 years, when he was ready to leave, Rabbi Lukstein, he was so matzliach, Rabbi Lukstein convinced him, I'll make you an administrator. Lamaisa, he's still in America. So when he was offered a more formal full-time position to stay, he, before he can answer, he told me that he went to Rama Shapiro and asked him the Shaila, is he allowed to stay? So it's interesting, the Taish that he told me that Rama Shapiro said then, which only a real Merkaz HaRav or Shashiva, the Taish is so important. What was the formulation? He said, in certain cases, the best way to fulfill mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to be in Chutz Laaretz. It's a very Mizuic Lashon, if that's an accurate quote, because it's a huge Chiddush, but he couldn't see it as outside of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but he could conceive of a way that you're building Eretz Yisrael from without. So that's not the way Rosh Hashanah quotes him as saying it, but the upshot at least is the same thing, which is that there are definitely well-known heterim for people who are Mabisei Torah, not to be in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not explicitly in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch they speak about someone who wants to learn Torah, but I guess you could certainly apply it. Huh? Oh, so you like your learning. I see. Okay. Could be. I want to mention another issue or another area where this comes up, which is very interesting, where you might not have ever expected it. I myself must admit that I've missed this, even though I've learned these halachos before, is the halachos of Chol HaMoed. I mean, Chol HaMoed, it's all this halacha. Famous Mishnah about hair cutting. I'm specifically not saying shaving, but hair cutting on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara talks about, the Mishnah talks about, what's a heter, one of the heterim, if you're ba, mi medina sayam, and you had no chance. So where is this medina sayam? The Bapashtus, wherever it is, it's not in Israel. And the poskim, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Tov Kuf Lamed Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says, it all depends on why you went to medina sayam. Whereas, do we allow you, the Gemara has a machlokas. Three opinions in the Gemara. One is, to make a profit, you're going to get a windfall, you invented widgets, and therefore you have a new market out there you want to sell. So who said you can make a living in Eretz Yisrael, but you don't just want to make a living, you want to be rich. So that's a machlokas. But if it's just to make a living, to survive, then it was mutter to go to Medina Sayyam. And if it was just Latayel, just because you wanted to go see the Washington Memorial, so then that is usur. The two extremes are clear, and the Gemara has a machlokes about Lervacha for some extra profit. We pass like the Rabbanon that Lervacha is still mutter. But in that context, the Shulchan Aruch, who's discussing this, says that for Chol HaMoed, in this halachic context, if you were just going for a tiyul, that is okay. And the Magen Avraham, and this is also quite a man in the Mishnah Berurah, or Madaik, that you see from this, that the Psaq is that not only Lirvacha, but then they add, this is fascinating in its own right, even Lekabel Pnei Chavero, you want to see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, those are also mitzvos, in this halacha. Those are legitimate reasons, that if that's the reason why you couldn't shave, because you're at Medina Siyam doing one of those things, and then you came back, couldn't get a haircut, then you came back, and you were in you came back to Eretz Yisrael right before Yontif, and then on Chol HaMoed you would be able to get your haircut.
I wanted to reverse that.
Let me make the point. So in that context, they ask, L'chora, it's a sphira. Because there, Rav Moshe, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that even the Ravacha, and perhaps even more, in the Kabul Pnei Chavero, that's a mitzvah, and that legitimates going. But in the previous halacha, where he did not use the lashon of the Rambam, he took out, he deleted the kagon. We said, oh, it's because he holds like Kosvus, it's only two mitzvahs, Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. Where does Lervacha come from, let alone the Kabo Pnei Chavero? So the pashtus is that the answer is that even though the poskim speak about these things bad by bad, you have to be mechalik. Namely, we're still talking about two things. One is the Isser potentially on any Jew from leaving Eretz Yisrael. There's a second one, which is on a Kohen. The Kohen has two halachos. One is, like every other Jew, he's not supposed to leave out these halachos. And the second thing is he has his whole Tumas Kohanim thing. So it's not surprising, not just that you had to have said such a thing, but in hindsight, in retrospect, it's not surprising that the Shulchan Aruch might have a more mitzumsum heter, a more limited heter for the Kohen, and a slightly more expensive one for the average Yisrael. It's just worth noting, by the way, if there are any Kohanim in the room, that the Shach and the Taz in Yeredeia both discussed that Bizmanenu were much more makel even on Kohanim, right? You don't have Kohanim, right? Kohanim have a shalom to go to medical school, but I haven't heard any Kohanim saying they're not sure if they could live in Chutzlars. Why not? So already the Shach and the Taz discuss that, and they point out that this is really only true if we're makwed on Tahara and Eretz Yisrael. But in a world that we live in where people aren't walking around Tahara and Eretz Yisrael, and then, I'm going to go off, get onto Ben Gurion Airport, and then I'll be in trouble. So at that point, it's really okay. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger also, in his comments to Shulchan Aruch, also attests that Bizmanenu, he says, for Mekel, either because of Tumas Eretz Yisrael, which I mentioned, or he even says for Parnassah is already so significant. So we're not even so strict like we used to be for a Kohen, but in theory, at least, Shulchan Aruch seems like you would be more strict. You would be more strict.
What about being mechalic a different way? That we take one case as la'arai, one case as l'keva.
Yeah, so that is, I want to mention that a little bit now. I want to mention that. So I wasn't thinking about it in that context, but let's discuss that a little bit now. The Gemara in Wawi Katan and Daf Yadalid mentions this idea that we were talking about, again, about leaving in the context of Chol HaMoed. And the Rosh, there in Wawi Katan, quotes from the Ravid, that the context here, especially when we're talking about even if it's for profit, maybe it's okay, maybe it's not, but the context, of course, is that still, even if we assume that even Lervacha is a shtekel mitzvah, because you're making a parnasa, and that's a mitzvah, unbeknownst to many people, but making a parnasa is eichad a mitzvah, it's mafurish in these halachas, so I'm not being facetious or silly, it's mafurish, making a parnasa is considered a mitzvah, even Lervacha, even a good parnasa. That's the Pesach of the Rabbanan, we hold like the Rabbanan. Nevertheless, it's still, even that, which we were calling that a shtukal mitzvah, but even that is not a heter blank check, it's a heter if you're leaving Amra Fahasir. So what's the mashmos? The mashmos, some suggest, is that if it would be not Lahasir, even if it's for Parnasa, it might be Asir. So the truth is, one could be Medai, one could disagree. There is a Nodi Yehuda who has a tshuva where he discusses this Gemara, and he understands the Gemara very differently really than the Rosh and others. He suggests that the issue here, what we're talking about when we said, oh, you went to Medina Siyam, did you have a right to go? Did you not have a right to go? So until now, we've assumed, why would it be a problem? Because you're leaving Eretz Yisrael. So he has a different pshat, so it's not a beautiful, very creative. He said, it's a different halacha. You may know that it's not traveling the desert is not so common anymore, but it's like they're taking a cruise, going on a boat. So halacha is, you're not supposed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos, unless it's the Dvar Mitzvah. So says the Nevi Yehuda, what's talking about here? The person left on this trip to Medina Sayam less than 3 days before. And now the Shaila is the reason that he left, was it a legitimate reason or not? If it was a fine of the Bar Mitzvah, you're allowed to leave even less than 3 days. But if it wasn't a mitzvah, then you're not allowed to leave. So that's where the Shaila is. If you're just going not to be able to eke out a living, but to make a nice, healthy living, is that the type of mitzvah where you would allow yourself? So if that's the case, it's an interesting Gemara, but it's bechlal not related to our topic. I'm running out of time, but I just want to mention two more things. Number one is there's a huge discussion. I didn't have a chance to get to it really, but there's a huge discussion. Vavadja, for example, has a very nice tshuva in Chavadas about Kibra Ve'em versus Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting because there's a Gemara, which, again, it's a difficult Gemara to understand, but there's a Gemara in Sefer Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph, where I think it was Rav Asi, wanted to leave because his mother, Nitra Padata, she was unfortunately going senile, she was getting older and losing her mind. He wanted to visit her. He asked Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan is not sure if it's mutter for him to leave. He does not say it's okay. And then they meet, and then Rav Yochanan sees that he really wants to go, and he says, Yachzerecha, Hashem B'Shalom, you know, you should be returned B'Shalom. So it's a very enigmatic Gemara, which is why we didn't really focus on it in the Gemara, we moved on. But if you take a look, there's a Marshal, there's a Rashi, there's a whole discussion there. And based on that, you have a huge discussion, and Rav Avadja collects Kedarka Vakodesh, many, many more Maramakamas, on both sides of that issue. So that's just something to keep in mind. It's in the context of Rav Avadja's famous Tshuva, which is the other direction, which is from focusing on Hilchos Kibbutz Re'em, which if a child wants to make aliyah and the parents say no, so are you allowed to violate your parents' wishes to fulfill the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, which we possibly can answer to that is yes. But in that context, he also discusses the other direction, and he quotes our Gemara. And finally, I saw an interesting discussion about, again, focusing, let's assume now this halacha applies to Israelis, not to people who are just visiting Eretz Yisrael. Again, whether we have a heter or not to be Israelis is a different question, but that's not the nice year. Hashayla is, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, are you ever allowed to leave? So we've seen mitzvos, prophet, parnasa, going to a good yeshiva and getting a good rabbi. I did see, the bottom line is we know many virtuous Israelis, wonderful people who just go for vacation.
Hotel.
They go for lots of reasons, right? People just go south on summer, they want a vacation. Not to Eretz Yisrael, leave Eretz Yisrael. So leave aside, and Mela, it's temporary. But you see from many of the postgames that even Lidvar Mitzvah or the Schora, it's only mutzah when it's temporary. But the Pashtos, according to some, not all postgame is, but Lidvar Shus, who said you have a right to leave even if it's only temporary. So I saw there's two tshuvas on this topic that I saw. One is they asked Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchok, he was asked this before he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was still in Manchester, England. That he goes through a whole thing, and he, at the end of the day, he thinks he has a room to be makel, but that he's not sure of the Marmon Kindness, and then he leaves it with, you need to ask Gedolei Hara Eretz Yisrael. He says, many from a Yidden are leaving, the stomach, the Rabbanim are telling him it's okay, I don't know why, he says, but go ask the Rabbanim there. So one of those Rabbanim, I don't know if he's referring to, but certainly one of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael is Rav Wozner, Dain Wozner from Bnei Brak. So in the Tshuva Shevet Levi in Chelek Hei, he discusses this. And very briefly, he does seem to think that it's potentially a problem. After all, he says, well, he understands the Rambam, which is what we were alluding to before, is that Amanat Lahasir, or temporary, is only true when you're going for a good reason. But if you're going for, quote, no reason, then it's not even mutter temporarily. And he says, what about a tiyul? But Pashtos, that counts as no reason. Uh-oh. But then he says, well, maybe we could be matzik rabbin, because after all, if you're only going for a really short time, he doesn't define what that means, a really short time, and you're going to see Neflos Habore, I'm not joking, he says this. So then, it reminded me, I wanted to say two things, it reminded me of Rav Hirsch's famous story. Rav Hirsch went to take a vacation in the Alps. I said, what are you doing? And he says, because I don't want Hashem to say to me, New Shimshin, how come you didn't go to see my Alps? Right, seeing the false Abari is something. But I was going to end on that note, Sonny, little did I know you'd be at this year. I was going to end on the note that I'm not sure if there's a heter for an Israeli to go see Walt Disney World. To go see the Grand Canyon, so it says, well, there could be a mitzvah. And I don't know, maybe even Inner Harbor is beautiful. I don't know, you have to decide what's in the false Abari. But to go see man-made things and we'll have a good vacation.
R&R.
So that's, okay, so R&R, you could go to the Alps. I guess. I don't know if your health might be different. You know, that's its own head. They're not a vacation. Anyway, I just want to, I'm happy to stay properly, but for those who want to leave, I can't share over.
Matt Osher, doing a shiva at Niagara Falls.
Say again?
Matt Osher,
he was giving shiva.